interesting.
I always wondered one of those.
It's like a Music Man.
Telly bass. That's G&L.
That's kind of the same as Music Man, isn't it?
No.
Well, it's Leo Fender kind of was part of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's George and Leo.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's better.
But pickups look like Stingray pickups.
Yeah, probably. Similar
humbucker. Aha! Uh-huh. Well, there's a flaw in your little theory then, isn't there?
The shape's different and the logo's different.
Mama's different.
Mama's different. Yeah, mom's... Anyway, hey, welcome.
Anyway, we're recording already, so hello there. How's everyone doing? And welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Better Show podcast.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Of course it's on.
I'm not even checking Facebook.
No.
No.
And I'm not talking about mole people taking over the world.
Mole people?
Mole people. Mole people. What show was that on?
One of us. One of us.
Mole people. Mole people. I think it was on The Simpsons.
Yeah, probably.
The mole people who take over the world.
Like Mole Man.
Moment, yeah. Anyway, so how's everyone doing? Hope everyone's having a fantastic day whenever you're listening to it, wherever you are in the world. Alex, how was your day?
Well, good so far.
Excellent.
It's only midday, but...
Yes. let's make it worse.
No. We've been doing videos today.
Yes.
Doing some more on our Clone and Clone series, which seems to be quite a long... process turned out to be. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's enlightening, if nothing else.
Yes.
Basically, we found out that they're all different and they're all very different. And we like some less. It's just overdrives, really.
Yeah. None of them sounds the same. So, be interesting to actually A-B it with the clon. What would really be interesting would be to get a hold of about 5 or 6 clon centaurs.
Yeah.
And do a shootout between that.
Forget it.
If there's any millionaires or billionaires listening who want to sponsor us.
Personal loan for 10 or 20 grand.
Yeah.
Get a few off eBay.
Probably actually need more than 10 or 20 grand if you want to buy 5 or 6 of them.
What's the 2.5 grand each?
Yeah, well, something like that.
It's only 12.5 grand.
And what would be really interesting, while there's billionaires wanting to sponsor us, we would really like to try it through a dumbbell. Yes.
Like that, the one Mick from that pedal show did on some channel.
Yes.
Might have been the one of the guitar channels, Total Guitar or something. It was actually like leopard print.
Oh, yes, I remember
totally
that.
Totally pimped. Yeah. Total 80s pimped so dumbbell.
If anyone wants to lend us... Well, not lend us, because we can't pay it back, but give us
150 grand.
We'll do it for you, and we'll put your face on a T-shirt and wear it for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, probably put your face on the inside of the T-shirt, but that's all right.
Closer to your heart.
Yeah.
So what did we do today? Today we did 3 because my camera ran out of memory space for whatever reason. We did the soul food, electroharmonic soul food.
Yes.
Which sounded really good.
Excuse me. Yeah.
For an inexpensive, easily available pedal, it sounded really, really good.
Absolutely. It's pretty cool.
We did the...
Tone Monk Phoenix.
Phoenix, which sounds great.
Now, if anyone actually knows any of the current goings-on of that company or the makers, get in contact with us. It's really great pedal. We'd like to know if those guys are still building and producing stuff.
Don't think they are, but...
Obviously not under that company, because it's...
What do I know?
Pretty quiet.
Yeah.
But not sure who... If they've gone on to do other things, like...
Yes.
Start a new company.
They've become boss. Maybe not. No, but yeah, the Phoenix is really good.
Yeah.
And it's... I think, as far as I know, one of the only clones where they goop the circuit board.
Yes.
So you can't even clone the clone.
No.
It's double gooped.
It's a cryptic.
Or it's conductive goop. Mm. Maybe the tone is in the goop.
Maybe.
Maybe all your non-goopers out there, that's what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
Because isn't it the same with dumbbells? They're gooped too.
Oh, really?
I think dumbbells are gooped.
Probably.
That's why no one can... It's the same as with the clones. People go, yeah, I've made a dumbbell clone.
Well,
but I think it's gooped.
How do they fix them if they played up?
Well, I think with Dumble, they were talking about it on the Guitar Wank podcast.
Yeah.
With Dumble stuff, you have to actually send it back to him.
Sure, yep.
And I think he still does that. He still fixes stuff.
Cool.
but if you're one of the chosen people.
Yeah.
But I think you... I don't know, but you've got to ungoop it, I guess, and then fix it and then regoop it.
Interesting.
But I think from what... I heard that on the Guitar Wank podcast.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
What's his face? Scott Henderson said he used to... He had one of the modified... Like, he had a modified Fender... Yeah. Amp, because that's what he did a lot of. Instead of building his own amps, he used to modify amps, I think.
Scott did or
Dumble? No, Dumble.
Yeah, sure.
Howard or Alexander. What, one name is his real name and then he changed his name to the other one.
Oh, really? So it was...
Whatever it is.
Because I believe they've just basically hotted up, like, Fender circuits. So.
I think it's a cascading gain stage or something like that.
Yeah, but the basic DNA is...
was a Fender.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Deluxe Reverb, you hotted up, spanked up.
Yeah, and I think, so as far as I know, I mean, you know, leave a comment if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, they're gooped, the circuit boards are gooped.
Interesting.
Anyway, yeah, so that's that. What was I talking about? Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
The Phoenix, which is really nice. That's a nice sounding pedal.
Pretty cool.
And then we did the Wampler Tumnus.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts on the Tumnus, Alex?
Has quite a honky mid-range that I'm not super fan of. Like, I quite like mid-forward sounds at the moment, sort of in the last couple of years. But I couldn't really get away from that mid-range that was there.
It's, to me, and, you know, nothing against Wampler pedals and that, but to me it's probably my least favourite out of all of the ones I've played so far.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got maybe a dud or something. I don't know, because lots of people really like it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I think we found it, especially at lower gain settings, had some weird artifacts in the top end.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a like it had a digital sort of sound to it, like what Pod and stuff had.
Well,
that fizziness, you know.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. Well, to me, it almost had that thing of like where you get the clean and dry sounds at the same time.
True.
You know where you kind of like the note rings out, and then you have this kind of crackle. Of the overdriven sound.
There's something funny going on. Whether it's maybe not 100% right or not, that like maybe it's slightly damaged or not.
Not sure.
Because it was sent to us by them, so from America. So anyway, so it's probably so far, I'd say, my least favourite. But, I mean, again, it's all subjective, that sort of stuff. Some people like things better than others. And, And we've got a bunch more to go. We've got, what else do we have to do still? We've got the Fox pedal.
And the
Kingdom.
Anasound,
we haven't done that yet, no. We just sort of randomly pick them out of the... The Anasound actually was one that I plugged in that was probably one of my more favourite ones.
Yep, cool.
I haven't played around with the switches inside yet, but we would have done it today. But yeah, for whatever reason, my camera ran out of space, and that's just takes too long to try and get stuff off cards. And
yeah, we didn't... Yeah, ran out of stuff today, but we briefly plugged in the Kingdom.
That sounded really good.
That's got some really cool voicing switches.
Yeah, I think it's one is like a soft clipping thing or something like that, and then there's another one where maybe different diode. Oh, no, it's not different diodes. It's different clipping options.
Sounded like an EQ one on the left. I don't know. We'll have to learn that properly.
Yeah, I didn't bring the manual. That's actually one of the reasons we didn't do it. I forgot to bring the manual, and
I want to get it right.
There was no online manual, so we wanted to get it right. That was sent to us by our good friend Roger at Signal Chain Music. Signal Chain. So great online sort of boutique pedal seller guy. Thank you very much, Roger, if you're listening.
Hey, Roger.
Hello, Roger. He also sent us a Golden Bondi Effect Sick As.
Yeah. So is there a difference between that and the blue one?
I think so. I think it's the... I've got to look into it more. That's another reason why we haven't done that one yet. But, I mean, I think the Sick As generally is an inspired by Klon circuit. But you have different clipping options on it.
So they did a red version, I believe, didn't they, at some point?
Yeah, he did all different versions with may have different diodes in it or something like that.
Yeah.
And I know he did the golden one. It was a really rare, limited sort of thing.
Sure, okay.
Which had probably more of those sort of magical diodes or mythical diodes or something.
Maybe it has goop in it?
Maybe it's gooped.
Oh.
I don't know. Should open it up. I've got to find out more about what the difference is. But we were going to AB the I've got a standard one. And we've got AB, the standard, and the golden one. But I think the golden one is meant to be more leaning towards the Klon, whereas the golden one, the standard sort of aqua coloured one is more inspired by.
Yeah, which is cool and seems to be really popular on boards around the place.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It's a great sounding
actually
drive.
Speaking of Bondi,
Australian guy.
Yeah, speaking of Bondi, we have to check out his new compressor that was released.
The 2026.
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
It's Brett Kingman. I think I asked him about it, and he is raving about it.
Well, you see that on more and more boards as well now.
Mm.
I think it's... Yeah, we should check that out.
This is the other thing. We haven't done many compressor pedal, or haven't done any compressor pedal videos.
Because it's kind of odd to do a video of it.
It's such a weird thing to try and do in video, I think.
Because I think it's more of a feel thing with compressors.
Totally, yeah. You can hear things getting squashed, like, but that's only a part of the... What compressor does?
Look, prime example. I've been using the Strymon Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Kenobi. the Strymon Obi-Wan.
Nerd.
I sort of had it almost always on.
Yeah.
But I like that there's a boost on it as well, which I use as a boost in front of all my drives to kind of push it a bit more if I need to. But then I made up a new pedal board and I wanted a smaller one. I still wanted a compressor, but less space.
Sure.
So I ended up buying the Pictronics...
a mini.
Philosopher's Tone Mini.
Yep. Yeah,
because lots of people were raving about it, blah, 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 blah. And it was great. And it probably didn't sound any different, but it felt completely different.
Yeah, that's...
It was really squishy.
Yep.
And it was almost like... I find it's more of a... Almost like a... an extra gain stage.
Can be actually an effect rather than a dynamic thing.
Look, I use it more as a, it's almost like in between clean and dirty.
Sure.
It's like a dirty, it's like a clean, but with the same sustain as a dirty.
Yeah. Well.
Because it squishes so much.
To paraphrase Dan from that pedal show, he says, compressors are the overdrives of the clean world.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, obviously use an overdrive to get some character, like a low gain thing, like a Klon type thing, or your favorite box of rock.
Yes.
To give that sort of edge of breakup some character, but it's the same with clean sounds. If you just want clean, compressor will give you that character and bring out all the annoyance of you're playing. So, which leads me to, how do you do a compressor video? That's not...
Because it's more about feel.
Boring and just pointless. Yeah.
Because you can say, oh, this feels great.
And they go, okay.
They go, okay, that's good. Yeah, because it doesn't really... I think the end result, the sound is not really much different in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, at Pictronics, you could probably do it because it gives you a ridiculous amount of sustain on clean.
Yeah.
You would hear that, but...
Like, I've got an Analog Man 2-knob compressor, and it's really quite transparent. But it's... going to be a boring video.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do one video with a whole bunch of compressors.
Yeah, maybe a shootout thing might be applicable.
With lots of little yawns in the middle. Like between every pedal, we both yawn. Next one.
If you've made it this far, congratulations.
So that's... that's okay, so hang on. We were talking about other pedals we're going to do. So we've got the...
On that same compressor thing.
Yeah.
One compressor might be really cool to check out and demo is the Greer one.
Light Speed. No, not Light Speed. What is it called?
Lightsaber. It's it almost breaks up, doesn't it? It kind of has this...
Yeah. It's an interesting sounding one.
Yeah. But that's a bit of an exception to the rule because it has its own thing.
Yeah. It's like that, again, Pictronics, the big Philosopher's Tone, I think it has a drive section in it.
Mm,
I think it actually has gain as well, so you can actually use it as a drive.
Yeah. I'll get into that land.
Yeah. Okay, what other... and then there's a whole bunch of other Klon-related ones we're going to do. I think we're still waiting on a few to arrive. We've got the 818. Is it OU818? I think that's what it is. The Greenchild.
Oh, yes.
I think it's OU818.
I'm not sure. the actual model number?
Something like that. It's 818, I'm pretty sure. That's coming. That's in the mail. It may have even arrived. A couple of boxes arrived at my place today, so it could be one of them, actually. The Mojo Hand effects. Sacred Cow is still coming. Uh-huh. That's on its way. There's another few still coming that we haven't gotten yet. I can't think of which ones they are. Hang on, I've got a list somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch still coming. So there's tons more clone related things. Yeah, K818. Sorry, it's a green shot. K818. Or Ryra the clone that's on its way.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Mojo Hand effect, Sacred Cow. We've done already a bunch of them, which we talked about last time as well. We've done Matthew's effect, Architect.
Yes.
The Keeley Oxblood, which was actually really good. That's one of my favorites. There's a whole bunch more coming, so stay tuned for that. So there's heaps more about that in a not too distant future. What I quickly wanted to just touch upon, funnily, in the last maybe 2 weeks,
yes,
a lot of podcasts I listen to and a lot of the YouTube guys I watch. Because we were talking about YouTube and podcasts last week. Last time. and we're talking about which ones we liked and don't like. The funny thing is basically since then, 60 Cycle Hum, they were talking about that they're using a Zoom H6 for all the audio.
Mm-hmm.
In the videos, I think, as well. They're using that to record the audio for the videos.
All right, yep.
Guitar Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Using an H6. They were talking about it in one of their last podcasts that they're using for all the audio and the podcast.
Cool.
And I think for the audio and the videos as well, they use an H6.
Right.
And I just watched a video that that pedal show did. And up until very recently, they've used the Zoom H6 for all the audio on their videos. And we've been using every single podcast of ours you've heard.
Pretty good.
Was on an H6 as well. So the H6, if anyone's out there who wants to start a podcast, get an H6. It seems to be the podcaster's thing.
The recorder of choice.
Unless you are that pedal show and you have the luxury of the guys from UAD, Universal Audio, come over and give you and set up a recording system, UAD recording system for you.
Yeah.
If you have that luxury, that's which...
pretty handy.
If any of you UAD people out there are listening, if you want to come to our place, well, not Alex's, but my place.
Yeah, come here. We're on the coast, near the beach. You're going to
come and hang out, you know. Get humped by Alex's dog, which is a female dog, but still get humped.
She doesn't hump.
She doesn't hump.
She loves you intensely.
Yes. If you have the luxury to have the UAD guys come and give you thousands of dollars worth of equipment for your stuff, if you don't have that luxury, get an H6, a really good unit. We've been using it, and it'd be interesting actually to hear people's opinions on it, but I think it sounds just as good as any of the other podcasts, but that's just me personally. We've just been... It just sits in between us with that sort of XY mic that is that stereo XY mic that comes with it that you can plug in the top. And we've been just using it like that. So one is pointing at Alex, one is pointing at me, which I have had people not comment on ours, but I have heard people in the past say they really don't like it when the podcast is panned. So you have someone panned into the left, someone panned to the right. Whereas ours isn't panned. It's just that it's a stereo mic and one is pointing at me, one is pointing at Alex. So it is a little bit panned, but not necessarily totally panned. I could make it mono in Logic, but I don't care enough. a lot of people are using it with all individual mics. Hmm. And that's actually, to tell you the truth, one of the reasons why I went with the H6 is because it has four XLR inputs.
Yeah.
So you can have, and I think XLR, and then you have the mic on top, and then you have another jack input too. I think you can have up to six. Because two, yeah. four, five, six, up to six microphones.
Yeah. I've seen people use them for things like small interview stuff, like probably YouTube-based contents, like doing interviews, like documentary style thing, just chit-chat. All sorts of anywhere you need to record audio, maybe even like if you're doing found sounds like music with like recording say subway trains or something, cut it up, and that'd be really cool to use, because
to record samples basically.
And because I heard a guy a couple of years ago built this whole like loop library for his albums out of all these noises from a bridge in Brisbane, from the bridge over the river. You would sit there,
Story Bridge,
I think it might have been one of the bridges where all the cars go over. He was recording all these sounds and trucks.
one of them bridges.
Yeah, yeah. you know, the ones above the water?
Yeah.
That one.
Ah.
And, basically used one bridge and got all these sounds, cut them up, made them into beats and stuff. And
there you go. So, yeah. Industrial in the truest
world. It didn't sound that good, but the ideas were cool.
It was called... it was a concept album... Cars driving over a bridge.
Yeah. In D minor.
In D minor. And this track is called There Was a Truck Too.
Cars driving the other way over the bridge.
But it's a good little handheld thing. It's And the other thing, so last podcast and this podcast were the before that, pretty much every podcast, with the exception of maybe two of them, possibly three, where I used my laptop. So let's say probably at least about 10 podcasts we recorded on the original batteries.
Yeah.
Yep. So this is just the original batteries that were in it. I just changed them for the first time before the last podcast. So, you know, and that's like at least between 40 minutes to an hour each time of recording time. When we talked to Peter... Coppers that time, that went like for an hour and 20 or something like that.
Yep.
Because he's a chatty fella. Which, by the way, actually, that reminds me as well. Today I saw the film clip to one of the new single, or the new single.
Oh, right. The one here.
The one he showed us when we went to his place. It's a really cool song, and it's a really cool clip.
Okay, I have to check it out.
Really trippy clip.
New song from the church.
Yeah. I really dig the song, actually. I liked it when he played it to us.
Yeah,
it's
just
really, really sort of spacey.
Lots of ambient sounds.
Very ambient, and it's all, I think he was saying all those keyboard sounds are him on guitar. It's not actually keyboards.
All right.
I think, from memory.
But
it's a really trippy clip, and I really dig the song. Hang on, I'm just going to see if I can find it, what it's called. We might even share it on the our page. Because it's, it's a really cool song.
We have to talk to Aaron, too.
Oh, yes. Just his guitar, his tech.
Quiet note between us. Because I know he's around at the moment, so.
Where is it? Four Italic, I think it's called.
Okay.
This song.
That's trippy.
It's a really trippy clip. It's a really trippy clip and a cool song. Anyway, it's got a cool, which is what I always liked, really low note guitar melody coming in later on.
Which leads me to...
Another segue.
Yeah. Speaking of segues. classic. You sent me the link, because I've been talking about getting a baritone for a while. He sent me a link to the new
PRS.
SE.
How cool does it look?
It looks mad. Some of those SE PRS, like the student Chinese ones, man, kind of holding their own.
That I've been kind of tempted to build, like do a parts guitar, do a baritone. Because unfortunately, the ones that I like for example, I quite like, there's a Squire... But it's actually quite nice, Jazzmaster style. But it's in that Antiqua colour. which I really don't like.
Oh, don't you like that?
No, I really don't like that colour.
Like the cream bursts.
Yeah, it's sort of from
great.
from normal to runny poo.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
No, so I've been toying with the idea of making one, but that I think it was zebra wood or something. It was a semi-hollow body.
The PRS one.
PRS.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked awesome, and it sounded really good.
It had P90s in it, didn't it?
I think it had P90s in it, yeah.
Because I think I'd use a baritone, probably not for so much heavy stuff, but more like just doubling, like
the old
country type thing.
I love the old, like, spaghetti western stuff, which a lot of that was done on baritones, and old Dan Electro baritones.
Yeah.
It's just that really twangy, low note stuff. Yep. Dig that stuff.
Which you need single coils for. Like,
yeah, to get that twang.
Yeah. Because it's so low, you need some cut.
So that's, that PRS looked great. Really good looking guitar. Cool.
Yeah. That's only a new release for them, isn't it? Because.
Yeah, I think it was just. That it was, model. It was a. Was it Australian Musician or something magazine? Like one of those.
Yeah, one of those.
Did a review of it. So it must be relatively new. It sounded really, really cool and looked really good. It had bird inlays too.
Mm, pretty sweet.
And it was that zebra wood. It looked really cool. And, and so semi-hollow PRS. I always liked the shape, the PRS shape.
Yeah.
That was actually probably on my bucket list, one of the hollow body or semi-hollow body guitars is sort of one of the guitars on my bucket list.
I've played a one of, is it McCartney, Carty?
McCarty.
Hollow body, like the deep thick one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh man.
The actually properly hollow body ones. Oh,
that was like, yeah.
With the, like, spruce top, even, I think, as well. Like,
could have been.
Properly resonating.
Yeah, it was like, top. Damn.
So that's a nice guitar. I've been kind of keen on a baritone for a while. I just like that sound. I really like that sound. That,
Which would be kind of cool for videos too, because we can. I don't know, maybe play some heavier stuff to see how
dry. Being the metal guys that we are.
Yeah. Spaghetti Western metal.
We should redo all the metal shootouts and stuff that we've copped so much abuse over with baritone guitars.
Hatred.
And play Spaghetti Western stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the Spaghetti Western songs that Brad Paisley did?
No.
Oh, they're great. He totally takes a piss and gets some guest people on the, like, narrate through the song.
Oh, okay.
They tell a story. Yeah.
No, I never heard that. Yeah, if you want to hear some good Spaghetti Western stuff, Ennio Morricone, he's the king of, cool. Like, he's the Italian composer who did all that stuff.
Mm.
Like, one of the soundtrack greats, and there's some really cool.
Very cool.
That low note baritone stuff.
So another speaking of sidetracks. You've probably seen on all the ads on YouTube. The people doing those master classes, like Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
Hans Zimmer. They've just released one for Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, I saw that.
That looks
Herbie Hancock, Hans Zimmer, cool. Deadmau5.
Yeah.
There's all these people doing
Herbie, master classes. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hans Zimmer would be cool.
Totally. Yeah.
What's his face? Is doing a he's doing banjo and comedy masterclass. Oh, Steve Martin.
Oh, great. Yeah, nice.
I think he does a banjo one too, because he's quite a good banjo player.
Yeah.
But he does a comedy masterclass.
Have you ever read his biography?
No.
Yeah, it's cool. Because he was kind of one of the first guys to get into that, like, comedians in a arena.
Like, okay.
Yeah, like taking that, like, out of the clubs into really big venues.
Big stadiums and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a cool book. Long time ago, but
Steve Martin, there you go.
That's great. That's cool. I'll check that.
Speaking of segues, one of the things I wanted to talk about, I was talking to someone the other day, one of my guitar students, and if he's listening, hey Jason.
Yo. Wasn't that Alf that did that?
Yo. Alf, yeah. your age there. I used to watch Alf when I was little.
In pog form, you know.
Oh, Milhouse.
So you're talking to your friend?
I was talking to my student. And I do on my on my sort of personal page on Facebook, so not my, like, what do you call it when you have, you have pages and you have non-pages?
Your personal one or the musician one?
My musician page, where I usually, like, put gigs, upcoming gigs and stuff like that. And I do, when I play solo stuff, and it's in a well-lit place, so usually during the day, I do live, Facebook Live, where I just go live and I do record like a whole set of me playing acoustic stuff live. Whether I screw up or not doesn't really bother me. But anyway, so I do that. And one of my students watched it the other day, Jason. And one of the songs I was playing was, I mean, it doesn't matter what song it is, but I was playing a song and he goes, oh, that was really cool. And then it made him, like, a few days later, it made him go, oh, you know what? I'm going to listen to the original version of that song.
Yeah, cool.
And he said, it was funny that it, at the time when he was watching me do it live, it didn't sort of occur to him, but when he was listening to the actual song a few days later, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, almost like a different song. It was recognizable because it had the same kind of words and similar sort of melody, but if you play the two next to each other, they're quite different.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just before he said that, he was talking to me about that, like maybe a day or two before that, I was talking to someone else who I can't actually remember who that was at the time, but I was talking to someone else, and we're talking about how it's funny, like around here anyway, this is where we live, so let's say southeast Queensland.
Yes.
In Australia, there is a very sort of definite division between people who play covers,
yes,
and people who play original music, and they don't tend to overlap much. There aren't a lot of people that play original music and covers, and there aren't a lot of people that play covers who also play original music, except for maybe hired musos. Like guys like that do
more session
that do plays. They play covers for a living,
yep.
But then get hired to play original music. For example, we just had the Gimpy Muster on.
Yep.
So there's a lot of guys I know, and I mean I almost played at the Muster once doing that, but it got rained out. It was great story. It was rained out. That was you couldn't get in or out, I couldn't play. But anyway, so some people I know who kind of live in the covers world.
Yep.
But they do get hired as guitar players, quite often actually in country music.
Yes.
There's a lot of guys we know that in the country music world, or it's not so much, it's sort of country pop world nowadays.
I kind of grew up in that country world, like coming from inland, a small country town. It's definitely a thing in that sort of whole genre, that scene, where you have a singer and a backing band.
Like, and the band could be whoever it is.
Yeah, it's like you might have a band in Victoria in Melbourne and one in Sydney and one in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And wherever your gigs are, you fly around.
And you just use that
send band. The charts, email them the charts, they learn the songs, show up and do the job.
Yeah.
So, but that's definitely in that world.
Yes. So that's a different thing, right? So, that's a different, that's sort of the rare crossover thing. It's more of a like a session thing. But generally, people that play... Yep. Like me, for example, at the moment, my main income, my main way of paying bills is I play covers, you know, 3 to 5, 6 times a week at different places, and they pay me quite well, and I make a living out of it. But I used to be in the sort of original music scene, but I'm sort of out of that scene. And it was just funny. So I was talking to these people, right, to this person. I can't remember who it was, but I was talking to someone. And we're sort of talking about how it's funny how it's sort of that you have this sort of separation where you have original music people and the sort of the people that they hang out with.
Mm.
They kind of look down on the cover world going, oh, you know, they're just playing covers. And you have kind of the cover scene almost looking down at the original music scene going, oh, you know, we make money for a living playing gigs. You don't.
We'd have to work at McDonald's during the day.
And I had friends, for example, and again, I'm not naming any names, but I had friends who constantly go on about how much they hate their day job. Hate it. They do original music sort of, you know, in the spare time. And I tried to, and there was a couple of them, I tried to get, you know, there were venues where I play frequently. They needed, they wanted new people, wanted someone different to yep. play. I got them gigs. They were liked, they were enjoyed there, but they did one or two gigs and then said, oh, I can't do this. I can't sit there and play covers. Sure. And then I sort of said to them, so in your shitty job that you hate, that you always whinge about, yeah. how much roughly do you make a week? And he said, they said X amount. And I go, you know what? I make more than you. And I don't work 5 days a week, you know, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
I do weekends and nights and play covers and I have days free, you know, I can do... I have kids and stuff like that. Anyway, so long story, sort of long-winded story. Lots of people find it sort of beneath them to play covers.
Sure.
And lots of people kind of think, oh, original music, you know, it's just, you're not going to make it anyway. I'd rather make money, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And how those two worlds don't mingle. And then I was talking to someone else, right, about, oh, no, sorry, I was watching this video, right, on a band. I think it was one of those Rig Rundown type things. And that band, whatever band it was, again, I'm not meant, not, it doesn't matter what band it is. It was just yeah. a band, some international touring band. They basically, they used Ableton music software. And that software ran, basically had, it sends out MIDI signals. Yep. And that software changed the patches on the keyboards. So it basically, you play along with backing tracks.
Yep.
And when it gets to a certain point, it sends out MIDI information. It changed the sounds on the keyboards. It changed the sounds on the pedal board of the guitar player. I think it even changed sounds to a certain degree with, like, the drummer had some electronic parts, and it changed the patches on their sounds.
Sure.
And it, even to a certain degree, I think... even does things with lighting and stuff. Like, it does everything. It basically runs the whole show, yeah?
Yeah.
And so the thing I'm sort of getting at, and I guess it's a long, long-winded kind of story, but so many people think covers, it's sort of beneath them and because it's not creative.
Yeah.
Yet I find a lot of times when you watch, and you watch a lot of big bands like U2, you watch bands like Coldplay, you know, huge bands.
Yep.
And you watch on YouTube nowadays, you see all this stuff. You watch the same parts of the same concerts, and it's exactly the same because they're playing along with click tracks. They have people changing. They either have people, if they can afford it, or they have a computer changing effect sounds.
Yep.
Now, does it mean these bands, you know, they're touring for like a year or 2 years, and there's very little creativity in what they do. I mean, granted, they wrote the songs in the first place and they recorded them in the first place. But then for like a year or two when they're touring, there's very little creativity in their playing because it's always the same because it's playing along to a backing track.
Yep.
Whereas...
the arrangements are the same.
The arrangements are the same. The sounds are the same. Maybe the guitar solos...
Change,
but you have X amount of time for a guitar solo.
Five times in a set.
Well, yeah, and you have X amount of time, so you have to still keep it within a certain length.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I'm not saying I'm so fantastic, but I play covers for a living, and my student, when he said to me, it sounds completely different, and it happens to me all the time that I go to a supermarket, a song will be playing in the background that I've been playing for the last 10 years, so I've played it like 1,000 times, and I never listened to it because I hear myself play it all the time while I listen to it. And I go, oh, this sounds completely different to the way I play it.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is, so where's that line of creativity? I mean, granted, I didn't write these songs in the first place, but when I'm performing...
And because you're... playing solo, acoustic guitar and vocal.
Yeah.
You can steer it any which way you want.
Any which way I want. Change like grooves, the other day.
Even change chords.
The other day I was playing a song and I can't remember what it was, but it was a song. Quite often when you play covers, a lot of the songs are quite similar. The chord structures are quite similar.
Yeah.
And I think I started playing a song that was almost the same as a song I played a few songs before. And I don't remember which way it was. Either the song I played before was in 3/4. And a song I was about to play was in 4/4.
Yeah.
Or the song before was in 4/4 and a song I was about to play was originally in 3/4. But I played it in a different time signature. Or I started playing it in a different time signature.
Right.
Because it's so similar to the other song.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, I'm just saying something. It's like one of those 1-5-6-4 progressions, like the I'm Yours, Jason Mraz progression or something like that. And one was in 3-4 and then the other one was in 4-4. And for whatever reason, I started playing it and I looped it and started soloing over it. And I was about to start singing it and I went, oh, hang on, that's in the wrong time signature. But I just went, ah. And I did it anyway.
Yeah, cool.
And it happens a bit, you know, and you start, just the way you feel, you kind of start playing it differently. And because I loop stuff, which is a whole different debate, I think we went through as well. Some people consider looping as a stupid thing and it's not real and blah, blah, blah. But
whatever.
To me, whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of, you, depending on your day, it takes on a completely different direction. And like me personally, and a lot of the people I know, that sort of play covers for a living, you rarely see them play the same song the same way twice. Like, it's always a little bit different.
Mm. Depending on how, like, especially, like, I know you do a lot of afternoon type, like...
Sunday afternoon, yeah, like, really relaxed kind of vibe.
Outside, people eating, drinking, just chatting and hanging out.
But then I also do nighttime gigs where you kind of make it more so in your face.
Just having that, like the amount of energy, you might push the tempo slightly faster or sit up on the groove a bit more. You might strum instead of like finger pick chords. So all that kind of stuff changes, even if it's you go two gigs in one day, do an afternoon gig and a nighttime gig.
You play the same song, so it's completely different.
Very different.
Yeah.
So which kind of the whole thing of, it's hard if you're not a songwriter. Like naturally.
Yeah.
I think we're both in the same boat of like musicians, creative guitar players, but lyrics is sort of.
Oh, I'm definitely not a lyricist. Yeah, no. I used to write a lot of stuff and I'm back into sort of the kind of. Sure. I do write a fair bit of stuff, but I used to be. The band I used to be in was an instrumental band.
Sure, yeah.
Because none of us could write words.
So,
and now the what I do, I work with a friend of mine and she writes all the words, basically, cool, vocal melodies. And stuff. I mean, the vocal melodies I do make up at times, but she writes all the words because I'm definitely not a poet.
Yeah, sure.
Man.
I'm the same world. So that thing of it's all, both of us are coming from the musical side of the creative thing anyway. So if you're playing covers, you're kind of being creative every time you play it, changing the way you play guitar.
Because, I don't have any set, like, solos I do for songs. I don't have any set way of doing it. I kind of always kind of do it spontaneously. And all I'm getting at, it's this funny thing, and I think it's like a worldwide thing.
Yeah.
Where, because I hear it on podcasts from overseas as well,
mm-hmm.
where it's this kind of division between people that play covers and people that play original music. And it's this very, and I mean, it is here, in our surrounding area, it is very definite.
Yeah.
You have the people that play original music and you have the people that play covers. You have some people that play original music and do covers, but they do sort of half and half covers and originals.
And the covers are more obscure.
The covers are much more obscure,
So which kind of comes back to that thing you're talking about with Ableton and tracks, because I do a lot of live sound and I did a gig just a few days ago over the weekend where there's a band who's kind of local. They're getting a bunch of national airplay now, kind of indie pop thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down to a trio, but they had all tracks off a SPDS, like a sample pad.
Yep.
So, it sounded massive and huge, but you can't vary it. There's no variation in the arrangements. No. You kind of...
You have to play it a certain way, and that's it.
Which is kind of like spinning the covers thing idea backwards. So you put all your creative energy before you go and play and tour.
Yeah.
But
and then
the covers thing is you half learn a song. And then,
very much half learn a song.
And then be creative when you play it for the next 5 years. Because every gig changes.
So that's, and I find it funny how it's sort of, how you have this really distinctive separation and each side kind of looks down upon the other side.
Mm.
It's like, oh, he plays covers, whatever. You're not one of the creative type. But I think a lot of people that play covers are just as creative.
Yeah.
It's just in a different way. And they want to make money out of music.
there was a local guy I used to play with some friends, and it was the running joke of, oh, we've got a gig with, and the running joke was, oh, how much is this gig going to cost me?
Yeah, well, that's
it was always at a festival far away or something. You have to pay to get there, and fuel and accommodation.
Well, that's it. I used to play in an original band. We did sort of semi all right. You know, we got some national airplay, and you know, we were sort of relatively known around here, and we never made any money out of the gigs. And then we got hired. That whole band got hired to be in a production of a musical.
Cool.
And all of a sudden we got paid, and we kind of went, ooh. And then half of the band and some of the cast of the musical started a cover band. And then we went, oh, you know what? To do on the side.
Sure.
And we actually literally said, oh, let's do this cover band to make money for the original band.
Yeah, right.
That's actually what we said. And then it just started taking over.
Yep.
Because you kind of go, ooh, money is nice.
Yeah, I got asked to play in this really great band from Brisbane, which is not far from where we live. They quite literally...
Or Brisbane for all you American
Brisbane
listeners.
they're a really great band. I love the guys. They're really cool dudes. They're literally two of the world. They've been Japan and Canada and around the place.
Cheap Fakes?
Yeah.
Ah, how did I know?
And they're great, but they don't pay themselves. Like, all the money goes back into the band for new albums and stuff.
Yeah.
And they all have day jobs, which is fine, but I couldn't do that because I have to pay a mortgage and...
Yeah, life stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's all. Sort of, I don't know.
Which is fine. It's just a different situation too.
Yeah. So I just wanted to. I just found it funny that there's this sort of division, and I just find it funny how people look down upon the other side of things, but there is not really a reason to look down upon it. It's just this sort of preconception a lot of people have, and. Anyway, so let us know what your thoughts are. insert hate mail, please.
Yeah.
What are we doing time wise?
I know.
I can't read it. 47 minutes. So we're getting towards the end. So I just wanted to touch on that because I just find it funny. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm this super creative guy who plays these super creative covers. I'm just saying there are lots of people who do this sort of stuff and who are creative. I mean, even people. So many people frown upon cover people who use backing tracks.
Sure.
And, I mean, yes, you do limit yourself a lot to it again, but there's a bunch of guys I know who use backing tracks very creatively, where you can actually, through MIDI commands, you actually switch between parts.
Sure.
And who then, you know, will be multi-instrumentalists, and one day they'll do a saxophone solo on it, one day they'll do a trumpet solo on it, one day they'll do a guitar solo on it, different day they do a piano solo on it. So, you know, still keep it creative, you know?
Yeah,
and a lot of these guys make their backing tracks themselves, so they record all the instruments themselves on backing tracks that they play along with.
Having said that, there can be really, really crap too.
Oh, there can be really crap of everything.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember I had this guitar teacher taught me some jazz stuff for a couple of years after high school. And one of the first lessons was, there is such thing as bad music.
Oh, there's lots of that.
it's not just like a stylistic thing. There is crap music.
Of course there is.
Yeah. So it's just...
There's crap in everything. But
yeah.
The thing is, it's. I think a lot of people sort of generalise.
Totally.
But I mean, that's with everything, I guess, nowadays. People tend to generalise very much. But... don't generalize people.
Yeah, all of you don't generalize.
All of you people, I'm generalizing you. No, it's just, I think, yeah, it's just that a lot of people look at covers and go, they're playing covers.
Mm.
Don't, because there are a lot of shit cover bands and cover musicians, but there's a lot of really good and really creative cover bands and cover musicians.
Yes.
Just like there's a lot of very uncreative and shit original music bands.
Totally.
Lots of them, actually. And then there's a few that are actually really creative and really good.
Yeah. But just think of, like, what there would be, like, maybe a small percentage of jazz musicians if they weren't allowed to do covers.
Oh, there would be no such thing as jazz.
Imagine that. No standards. gone.
But yeah, most jazz musicians were,
Just saying.
No, so there's nothing wrong with covers.
Just saying.
You know, interpretations of covers, it's all good in the end. As long as it's good, it doesn't matter what it is, it's all good. And I hope that sort of made sense.
Yeah,
well, he says yes because he just wants me to go. So, yeah, if you have any comments on that, just let us know. It's just something I wanted to bring up cool. just because it was funny because it was just a bunch of days in a row sort of was talking to people about this. And, it sort of came up and stuff. So what's coming up in the near future with you, Alex?
What's coming up? Oh, I don't know. Lots more gigs. I'm going overseas soon.
Ah.
That should be fun.
Nice.
Going to Europe.
Europa.
Europe.
Yes.
Yeah.
The final countdown. But that's an example of bad. Especially hair. Very bad hair. What's coming up for me? Anything exciting? Well, I'm still recording my EP / album or whatever it is, very slowly.
How many years is it now? So
about 5 or so.
So not rushing it.
No. We've got 3 tracks almost finished now. So no, but you know, life. There's life.
Yeah.
We both have kids. You know, she's got kids, her kids. I've got my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Separately. Yes. Individually, you know, I do lots of gigs, I do podcasts, I do clone shootout videos, so, you know, and I have, you know, we have families, we have work and other things, so, you know, I don't have too much time to do this sort of stuff, but we're possibly going to actually have my own studio properly done now at home sooner or later.
Yeah.
So
we'll chat after the podcast. We'll
talk after, my people and your people.
Yeah.
That's something I've been wanting for a long time. That's finally actually going to be happening maybe.
Excellent.
Towards the end, before the end of the year maybe, anyway. Oh, cool. That's about it. Just waiting on more Clon-related pedals to arrive in the mail.
Mm.
Got a message from my wife. There's 2 packages at home.
Excellent.
There's a bunch of we're talking about things coming up for the YouTube channel, which you should all go and subscribe to.
Yeah, do that.
There is possibly one of the packages that arrived is a part of the Dan Electro Hippie series, the Psycho Flanger. So we've already done a video. It's actually one of our most watched video. We've done the Sitar Swami.
Yep.
We've done the Back Talk.
I was going to call it Talk Back, but it's the Back Talk.
Back Talk. And now we're going to do the Flanger. And then the last one, the only other one I got to get is the Free Speech Talk Box.
Yeah, cool.
So we're going to do the whole series, the Hippie series.
Yeah.
And then you basically have the whole original series, first series, except for the chorus.
Yeah, I just need to get the chorus. I think Aaron might have it if we could borrow it.
Okay, could maybe borrow it.
But they're not that expensive, so I might get...
Then we're going to... Yeah, so we're going to do the Hippie series and the original series, big sucker metal boxes, Dan Electro boxes.
Ones, which are great.
Really good pedals, actually. Good sounding pedals.
The delay is particularly good, I think.
The Dan Echo?
Dan Echo, yeah.
And we might even see if we can get... Because we've already done the Shift Baby? Shift Daddy?
Yeah.
Might get the Wah, the Flames and Leopard Skin Wah as well while we're at it.
There's a Zebra one, too.
Zebra one?
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
Which is what you want in a wah pedal.
Oh, who wouldn't want that in a wah pedal? Hang on. One of my students sent me a message. Oh, not coming today.
Huh. How many are you teaching today?
I think only 2. Oh. I had, we're sort of going off topic, but 3 of my students have injured themselves.
Wow.
2, literally within an hour from each other, I got 2 text messages. One broke his, fractured his arm mountain biking.
Oh.
One, a little girl fractured her wrist, I think.
Really?
Wow. And they're both, like, I got 2 photos texted to me with people in casts within, like, an hour from each other last week.
Trippy.
And then I've got someone else just did something else. And another student of mine, while playing sports, she injured one of her fingers, and it turns out the tendon is all screwed up, and she has to have therapy.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, 15 or something.
It's no good.
She couldn't move it at all.
Yeah.
So three students of mine within a week basically got injured. So wow. Don't do sports.
Yeah, exercise is bad for
don't
you.
Don't go outside. Stay inside and play guitar. Going outdoors only leads to injuries and sunburns if you're very pale like me. So, yeah, anyway, sidetracked. Where was I before? Oh, yeah, so we're doing the Dan Electro hippie series and we're doing a Dan Electro original series.
Yep.
And then another thing we're going to do, which I'm starting to get more and more of, is we're going to do a bunch of the DOD series. And I think one they call the genre series, which is we've already done grunge, but the original series, like 93, 94, they came out. The grunge, the punkifier, which is on its way now from England, I think.
Cool.
I've bought one. The punkifier, the death metal, which we're still going to do, which we're extremely metal guys. And then there was one more, wasn't there? Oh, the Buzzbox, which we've done as well. They were the original ones. And I think that same series also had the Meatbox.
We should check which out.
Is quite expensive.
All the cheap food ones, they're cool.
Like the food series ones.
Yeah, the tuna melts and the chicken one. And
Guitar Nerds just did a video on all of them. All
right.
They got all of them. They collected all of them and they did all of them.
Nice.
But so, yeah, so I want to do. I want. The Meatbox could be the only tricky one because it's really expensive now.
Yeah.
But then, so there's that series, and then the series after, which is called the Final Series. Because it was the last series of pedals they did before they moved to China. So they're still US made. And they're the ones that have all the weird names, the knobs of all the weird names. Mm-hmm. So I'm only missing a few of them. And I think I'm going to hit eBay and get them, which is like the Gonculator, which you've done already.
Oh, yeah.
The Juice Box, the Milk Box. That's one that I need to get.
Yeah, cool.
What was another one of them? The Interstellar Flanger, I think, or something like that. Interstellar Flanger. Or, something like that. Anyway, there's a bunch of them. So that's another series of pedals we're going to do. I think we're going to do a couple of series.
Yeah, we kind of like this idea of checking out stuff, especially because the Dan Electro stuff, most of it's pretty cheap secondhand.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
Except for some of them. The Backtalk
is... A couple of them are reaching.
Backtalk is like $500-600 Australian dollars now.
Yeah.
I bought it when it came out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I ordered it at my local music shop in Noosa.
I remember those in magazines when I was in high school, yeah.
Because it was a reverse delay, and I went, oh, how cool would that be? Because I think it was the first reverse delay that came out.
Was it? Well, surely there would have been in, like, Eventide H3000s and things.
Yeah, but I mean in pedal form.
Yeah, sure.
I think it was before, and I think it was after that that Boss brought out one of the DDs that had a reverse delay on it. But I think it was the first pedal form reverse delay.
Yeah, right.
And I ordered it, like I pre-ordered it. And I got it, like, brand new, and I still got it.
Sweet.
And now it's ridiculous. Starting to fetch ridiculous prices.
Might turn into a clone.
But you never know. And then we're going to also do, we've talked about it for ages, and I'm finally probably going to pull the trigger and get one of the AM4, do the Line 6 4 pedal, 4 button pedals. The DM4, the DL4, the FM4. The MM4 and the AM4, if I'm going to get I should be able to get that. And at FM4, we're going to do a shootout with the Filter Modeler Pro that you've got. That'll be cool, actually, getting all the rack ones, but they're quite expensive.
They are quite expensive. Our friend Guy has the delay.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. We should get that off him.
So we could... Yeah, I'm not sure if he's using it much.
There's a drive one too. They made. Oh no, did they make modulation one?
As far as I know, there's only three: the modulation, the filter.
Did they never make the drive one?
Don't think so. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, we might find a modulation one, but I haven't seen a modulation one really ever.
Yeah, they very rarely come up on eBay, and they've only come up a couple of times when I had no money.
That's always a problem. So that's another series that's coming up that we're going to do. So, you know, if you want to see them, make sure to go and subscribe to our channel. Yeah.
Check it out.
YouTube channel, and it'll happen sooner or later.
Very cool.
So did I forget anything? Any other series we're going to do? Any other stuff coming up? So we're doing the Clones.
Yep.
We're going to do that Dan Electro Hippie series and Dan Electro Original series.
Line 6 4 button
ones and the DOD ones.
Heaps to come. Heaps
that's
to
tons. Come. That's at least the next... 15 to 20 years taken care of.
all the way through to November.
Yes.
Next year.
Whoa.
Right.
And then we've had, actually, we should do that too. We should do some amps.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a request to do, because we always use the Serotone OTS Mini 20 for our demos. Mm. We had a request to do a demo of it.
Yep.
So we should do a demo of that and the Creme Brulee, because they're two really good amps.
Yeah, quite different too.
Hmm.
Very cool.
So stay tuned for that. And also one day, man, there's a lot of stuff. Our own gear. Again the other day, we had someone request to do a thing on our own stuff.
I only talked to Jack yesterday, maybe, about coming wiring up my pedal board for...
Ah.
So check out Jack Hudson Productions, or JH Productions. He's a local dude, friend of ours, who does pedal board wiring and...
He did pedal boards for Brett Kingman and...
And Boss Australia.
Boss Australia, he did. Which is pretty sweet. For when they released that MS2?
The new multi...
MS2? MS3?
Multi-pedals, you know, the... Yeah. The Strymon...
Multiple Sclerosis 2?
Yes.
And then Jack will be probably sooner or later on the podcast as well.
Very cool.
As a guest, so... Sorry, been blabbering on. What have we been doing for time now? Oh, an hour and 1 minute. I think on that note,
might it's be a cue for lunch. Eh?
Time to go and have some lunch. So thank you so much for listening.
Thanks,
please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to this as well. Leave a comment.
Yeah.
And if you made it this far, take a photo of what you're looking at right now.
Yeah. Put it on a Facebook page.
Put it on a Facebook page and let us know.
We'll do a shout out to you.
Yes. So far, there's been 4 people who did that.
Yeah.
Good
on you.
And we've had now over 6,000 downloads.
Cool.
In August alone so far.
So hello to everyone.
So hello, 6,000 people. Get off your asses and take a photo. 4 people have done it. Go to there's a link below somewhere to go to our Facebook page. Go and do it. Don't be a douche. On that note...
Now that we've called everyone a
offended
douche.
Everyone, and no one will
giant
listen.
Douche.
Giant douche. Douche, douche, douche.
Or a toad sandwich.
From the planet douche. All right, on that note, talk to you all next time. Cue music.